greetings to everybody. Look forward to what we're going to be focusing on today. I wanted to say a few words about this, embodying the consciousness of NVC. But actually, I'm going to pause because I want to just take a very few moments to ask everybody to attune in a short opening meditation. The intention of this is simply to become present and to connect to our own immediate experiencing. So let's just take a few short moments to ask everybody to eyes open or close, whatever works for you. Take a couple of deep breaths. Be with and notice the flow of your breathing. And notice the life force or the life current that's running in and through your body on all different levels, physical sensations, emotional feelings, thoughts, images, sense and feel this aliveness as your very life force in all of the different forms. And breathe and get in touch with your intention for this class. What is it that you want? What are you valuing that you would like to experience this class? Name it, identify it as best you can. Okay, thank you. I'm going to read a quotation from Stephen Schwartz. He's a person who has developed a work called Compassionate Self-Care. He passed away many years ago, but his work is still available. It's had a lot of influence on my own work. Self-compassion. After I read it, I'm going to ask for some sharing from last week's work. Anybody that has any question and answer or sharing from last week's processes, exercises, what I had suggested that you work with in between classes. So the words I want to say before I read the quotation are, in my many years of learning, integrating, and sharing NVC, I have found that there are two developmental levels of the integration of nonviolent communication. The first level is quite broad and general, and it's my experience is that within myself and others that it's been a profound transformation to be able to shift our perspective radically from the jackal state of mind, life alienating, full of judgments, criticism, evaluations, disconnected from our authentic feelings, not necessarily connected with our needs and our longings, into the place where we can reorient our experience towards fuller authenticity and develop the skills that are a reflection of that. The skills to be able to differentiate what we observe from what we evaluate, fully identify our feelings, differentiating it from thoughts, to be able to live into what we're needing and valuing, communicate from this point, and to engage into relationships so that we make requests that empower the relationship so that everybody's needs matter and are ultimately fulfilled. So this first level is, in a very broad way of speaking, has been very transformational for many, many people. And inevitably, in virtually everyone that I've encountered, including myself, that we get re-stimulated, triggered, so to speak, in life experiences in a way where these skills are not accessible, where we lose all access and ability to touch into our authentic feelings and needs, and we get stuck in a vortex of pain and suffering. So it is out of this state that drew from me the interest to more deeply understand why and how we get stuck and identified in these reactive patterns. Out of this developed the work of self-compassion, embracing our judgments, embracing our core woundings, so that we can transform what ultimately are these core perspectives, core beliefs out of which we operate and are identified with, and then act from there. No matter how much we know and we'd like to be able to access our skills through nonviolent communication, when we're stuck in this place, we're not able to. So the embodying the consciousness of NVC for me goes to both of those levels, but in particular in the deep self-compassion, we address that inner skill when we are especially stuck in these places that we don't know how to get out of. Having said that, I'm just going to read something from Stephen Schwartz that is, for me, very much in alignment with compassion and self-compassion. It begins, "Compassion is being able to see, and by see I mean through the heart, as opposed to see in some sensory, intellectual way. To see through the heart the beauty and the tragedy, if you will, the love and the love that is appearing in a disguised form in all of those who come our way and in all of the experiences that emerge into our sphere. But it must also be recognized that compassionate self-care, is a way of coming to our current perception, our current fear, our current judgment, and respecting that with the same integrity and with the same steadfastness as we respect that fear after it begins to translate itself into something warmer and deeper." So just a couple of moments of silence just to integrate that. I'd like to hear from anyone for whom hearing this reading, and if you can remember the preliminary remarks I shared around the levels of embodiment of NVC, if anybody has any resonance or sharing, I'd like to hear it. Pamela, I see your hand is up.
I did the empathy weekend. If anyone's not aware, there's every October 2nd, if you check out worldempathy.org, there's a all-day-long empathy call in honor of Gandhi. And I got to speak a little bit with Godfrey, who shared the profound impact of your teachings on his life. And I'm just aware that coming out of the depth of spending so many hours in a immersion fluency blend of NVC consciousness, I'm feeling really triggered and overwhelmed, and I am having judgments and all of that. And your reading that was just so poignant, because I want to be able to speak, like be fully self-expressed in a way that is empowering, and to be present with what's alive with myself, rather than seeing NVC as sort of a kind of thought police, that I should only talk in one way.
I'm sorry, Pamela, I didn't understand that word. What was the word, a kind of what?
Like an Orwellian thought police.
Oh, got it.
So thank you. It just hit such a poignant chord for me.
Yes, I appreciate hearing, Pamela, and I think it's hoping this is valuable for others, because there are many things that I've observed, and I know I'm not the only one, that there are what could be called limitations or pitfalls in the approach and practice to NVC. It's not inherent to NVC, but I think it's inherent to how we integrate and learn what I view as a radically transformative way of experiencing life, and that one of the limitations or pitfalls that you identified is quite common. Some people sort of jokingly, or their attempt is humorous, to call it the NVC police, you know, that there's a right way and a wrong way. And so I can see how it can be easily, one can get triggered and re-stimulated around this. And the point that I want to make around, that I want to make in what you shared, Pamela, is that for me, this work, that when you, when I, when we get triggered or re-stimulated in whatever environment, whether it's an NVC environment or elsewhere, that the work of compassionate self-care is not to try to get over or through our triggering. It's not even to empathize through it so that we can get to our feelings and needs. Because often what that approach entails is a resistance to what we're feeling. We want to get over or through our triggering as if there is a subtle or not so subtle judgment that it is bad, unacceptable, or some other form of judgment. The approach to self-compassion, as I view it, as I share it, is that we take all experience, whatever it is that we're experiencing, especially those parts of our inner experience that are uncomfortable, that we want to push away, and to approach that experience in a way in which we embrace it. We open to it. We open to feel the subtle energy in the pain, because the principle is in that pain itself, there is a longing, a yearning for a quality of life that isn't being experienced in the present experience. That's the essential message and practice of self-compassion. So I just wanted to comment on that, Pamela, and I'm hoping that hearing that response is somewhat supportive of you.
Extraordinarily. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. So I'm wondering if there's anyone else who is moved to share in any way the reading or the commentary that I made. Darlene?
What caught me was this one little phrase, that it just was love in disguised form.
Yes.
And it was just that little reminder of, yeah, like what's underneath all that. That phrase just really caught me.
Thanks for naming that, Darlene. It's just, this for me points to the key of when we hear something that we don't like, that stimulates pain in us, judgment and all of that, the challenge of how difficult it is to embrace that expression of, you know, using NVC jargon, the jackal, whether it's within ourselves or other people, and to not further judge it, but to see it as Marshall put it many years ago, the tragic expression of our needs, that when we are judgment, in order to fully penetrate into the life in that judgment, we don't try to get over it, but we open and embrace and listen to it. For me, that is the heart of compassion and empathy. That's another phrase, is love in a disguised form, that for me represents the same thing.
Lovely.
Great. Thank you. Okay. What I wanted to focus on today is an adapted focus, let me put it that way, on a process that I entitled Compassionately Embracing Life and Transforming Core Beliefs. So for today, I want to focus on a kind of the core aspects, or a shortened version of that process. This is one of the documents that I'd like you to, if you haven't already, to have access after the class, so that you can continue practicing this process. So what I want to do is to share a little bit of background information in terms of how to hold this in context in doing the process. So it has to do with what can be described as the anatomy or the structure of our core belief structures and where it comes from. I don't want to make this too much of a lecture, a long lecture, but I just wanted to share some basic information that I think can support you in some of the work of self-compassion and the transforming of any core belief structures that you become aware of in the process. I do want to be sensitive to, as I'm sharing this, if there's anything that I share in the process that is unclear to you, if you would then raise your hand, I'm willing to stop and then address it so that it doesn't get to be too accumulated. So I'll begin. In my experience with this structure of human experience and addressing what I mentioned earlier about those places in us when we get re-stimulated or triggered, the experience of inability to have access to deeper skills, to visualize, there are three dimensions of human experience. And you can visualize it as three concentric spheres, the middle, the center of which can be called our core self, our essential being, our deepest authentic self, something like that. You can use different language. And so this is the heart of our authenticity, and it carries qualities of aliveness. It is our authenticity. It's qualities of creativity, innocence. This is the essential part, aspect of our being, out of which our longings emanate. Our longings for love, mutual respect, understanding, to see and to be seen. All of the needs emanate from this aspect of our essential self. And in the course of life, usually early in life, that in the development of our being, in our humanness, we experience wounding or traumas or hurt, that our essential self withdraws in the wounding. And so, and of course this accumulates over time, and that over a period of time, there's a range of traumatic experiences from very mild to medium to severe that we all experience. So when we are wounded, there's a part of us that contracts and makes a decision, conscious or unconscious, that in some form our life decisions to not express our authenticity, to hold our love and creativity in order to protect it, in order to protect itself from the pain of making ourselves vulnerable and then being hurt. And so out of this experience over time, what happens is that in our decisions, we create survival and protective structures in our being that take the form of certain core beliefs and core identities. So this would be the second concentric circle outside of our essential self, would be the place of our wounding, of our pain, and our vulnerability. The third concentric circle, kind of holding all of it in, so to speak, or encrusting it in a way, is that structure of beliefs from which we defend ourselves, that are protective and defensive. And so we create core beliefs out of that, and core beliefs about ourselves and other people. The fundamental core belief has to do with I am not enough, I am faulty, and 100 different versions of that belief. It can be I am weak, I am powerless, some kind of deficiency, I'm not good enough, I'll never be good enough, I don't matter, I'm flawed, I don't have needs, etc. There's many, many different forms of this sense of identity that is actually a core belief about self. Then there's another whole set of beliefs around life and other people. Life is unfair, life sucks. There's beliefs around the deficiency and lack in life. There isn't enough money, enough love, enough time. Life is a struggle. My life is worthless. So these are some extremes, and yet in the core beliefs, we operate from that place. And some about the world is unsafe. I can't trust other people. Beliefs like that. This is a sampling of some of the beliefs that we operate through. And one of the fundamental aspects of these beliefs that gives rise to language is that they're beliefs that judge ourselves and other people as right and wrong, good or bad, which is the source of what we call jackal thinking and jackal judgments. A big part of this, because we defend ourselves against the world, we tend to view the other as the enemy or a threat. So this is the source of our enemy images, is the part of our core beliefs. And so when it gets activated, this is the place where it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to access the skills to be able to touch into our authentic feelings and needs, because what's holding it is a deep wounding. There's also non-traumatic conditioning that stimulates our beliefs, that just because we live in a particular culture or families, we create certain beliefs about life that are life alienating but don't come from trauma. We have beliefs about anything, about love, about money, men and women. I realize that I'm giving a very broad overview. I just wanted to give you a general idea of the source, in my experience, of many of these core beliefs that keep us from accessing our vulnerability. And so it is the process of compassion, whether we offer it to ourselves. And in this case, I am making compassion and deep empathy synonymous, that when we can provide compassion for ourselves and other people, that it creates that space in the atmosphere in which the healing and the transformation, we can transform the core beliefs into the underlying wounding and longing that allows us to touch into our deep, authentic self and our nature. So what I want to do is two things. Do a very quick kind of a guided process or guided meditation for everyone, which is a broad process of compassionately embracing our experience. And then after that, what I'd like to do is to divide into pairs so that they can just do a quick touching base and sharing of their experience of this process with one another. And then we'll come back into the larger group, and I'd like to guide people into the compassionate, embracing, transforming core belief process. So I'm going to share this and guide you through it. It's a bit of a guided meditation, and I want to just say something that in my experience in the past, my words and my pacing might or might not fit your particular experience. So do the best you can and allow for whatever you feel in listening to this, however this resonates with you. There is a broad pattern or intention in this process. And I will share this guided meditation with everyone so that you can follow it if you choose to after the class. So it's called Compassionately Embracing. The preface is, when experiencing the pain, confusion, fear, anger, or other distressing states, we suffer. We are disconnected from our essential aliveness and relaxed presence. Approaching ourselves with compassion is key to recovering our authentic aliveness and being. So we first stop and begin by breathing. Just breathe, slowly allowing our felt inner experience simply to be. Create a spaciousness so that instead of resisting any experience, any painful contraction, by reacting to any story, interpretations, and thinking that causes the constriction, allow the breathing to communicate bodily that there is a space, there's room for this inner feeling to be. To whatever extent you're able to, whatever you're experiencing in your inner experience, create a little bit of an edge or a space around it, as if the space around it is a holder or a container for the experience. There is a message that this space offers to the inner contraction or painful part. This message is, there is room for you to be. There's nothing wrong or right about this feeling. There is nowhere to go, nothing to fix. You are okay just as you are. I accept this feeling just as it is. And when we approach any contracting distress in this way, we're allowing instead of resisting the feeling experience. All feelings are energy flowing through our body as sensory emotional realities. Feel our life energy flowing through us. There's no right, wrong, appropriate, or bad. It is all life seeking flow, wanting just to be. any hard edge or tight, constricting experience slowly becomes softer and more vulnerable. We're opening to and can be with this vulnerable part of us, often as a very young part, a very innocent part, as if that inner child part is present in that feeling. And often there's a part of us that reacts to difficult situations in life by seeking to protect. This part of us sees events and situations as dangerous, that they're going to hurt or restrict us in some way. By viewing this part of us as innocent and as that part that longs for acceptance and love, it awakens compassion in us and the constriction begins to relax. And even more so, we allow that fearful, judging, hard part in acceptance, even in welcoming. We welcome that part. Fully accept you. There's nothing wrong. It's nothing you have to get over or get through. And then you can sense for, is there something that this energy is wanting or longing for? Can you feel the longing? If you don't feel the longing, just accept whatever's there. You sense in this feeling experience the longing energy. You might feel that this is longing for something precious, something deeply comforting. Sense it may be a longing for love, for the loving presence in which we can relax, knowing that we are held with care and tenderness. So just continue to relax into the flow of your breathing, gently allowing the life energy of feeling to flow. You might feel that there's a quality of sacredness to this energy, this life energy. And you may feel that this life energy is more than just me or you. It's a quality of life energy itself moving through you, flowing like a river. Maybe there's a sense of strength and clarity to the presence of this feeling as you relax into it, allowing it to gently hold and encompass. And if you sense in this energy a beauty and a living quality and feeling, just allow it to be. Allow the energetic quality of this aliveness just to slowly extend into your entire body, into every cell of your body, into each of your limbs, arms, legs, tips of your fingers and toes, into the room that you are in. Allow it to touch and imbue everyone that you can imagine. You could sense it moving out into everyone, into the entire world. And just relax and be with it. And so you're in pairs already. What I'd like you to do when you begin sharing in your pair is each person acknowledge and say your name and then choose who's going to go first and then just simply share what's alive in you right now, just what's your present moment experience right now. And then after you share your present moment experience, if you want to share what your experience of moving through the compassionately embracing process as I guided you through it. You can share that. So I think we'll have 4 minutes for each person.
Absolutely.
So you can begin. Thank you all for doing this exercise. I would love to hear, for my connection with anyone who cares to share, what the process was for you. It's not only for connection, but I want to confirm in myself that the intention that I have for this process to support your learning and your growth, that there's some alignment with that. In other words, am I online? Am I on purpose here? So I'd love to hear anybody who cares to share your experience in this process or any question that arose out of it. Yes, Jeff.
I felt a deeply emotional response to this. It really touched the things in me. The words that you were using were just in alignment with what was happening. I felt a deep sense of vulnerability from something that I couldn't describe exactly specifically, but it was like a woundedness. It was like a fearfulness and just something coming from deep inside of me. And I was in tears as I was hearing this and feeling this intense emotional feeling, like I'm just a wanting to air this stuff, this vulnerability in myself. And I guess that's the main thing I wanted to express was the mm-hmm. deep emotional response I was having to the words that you were using and mm-hmm. Saying.
Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate hearing that. It deeply resonates with my intention in this exercise or this process. So thank you for sharing that. So, Daryl, I see you have your hand up as well. Love to hear from you.
I also experienced that emotion arising. And what was interesting for me is that, in retrospect, I realized I was trying to do it right, trying to come up with mm-hmm. something. I think when you spoke about making the space around it, it's just, here's what's here, confusion. Mm-hmm. And just naming it was very powerful for me and accepting that that's where I was in that moment. And even with the second part of the process, noticing as soon as I can let go of, I should be doing this, or this is what, a good person or worthy person or whatever would be able to do, as soon as I could make space and drop that, or even notice that that's what was going on, then what came for me for the longing is acceptance. It felt very rich. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for sharing that, Daryl. Again, I hear your sharing is very much in alignment with the intention for this process, is that there is, when we get into these zones, so to speak, these places of opening to our experience in the vulnerability, there are qualities that I describe as this fragility or tenderness, deep feeling states that in my experience often have an edge. There is an edge of fear. And it's the quality of fear that gives rise to either the tendency to protect and defend or hold the experience away from us, or to go into the other direction of simply opening to and just absolutely accepting that experience without trying to make it any different than what it is. So thank you for that, Daryl. And there's many different responses to a broad guiding of an experience like this. Sometimes people have something different than what I said. I do want to say that there is no right way or wrong way to do this experience. There isn't any way you're supposed to have it. So, in other words, whatever unfolds is your own inner direction that your life force goes in. And so you might have gone into something slightly different than what I guided you in. Did anybody have that experience? Anna, are you wanting to share, or would you willing to share what your experience was if it was different?
Yeah, definitely was different. I had been away for a week and, away from computers and everything and didn't get any of the homework and was feeling some confusion, which confused me because I don't usually feel confusion with what you say. And I just had this unusual feeling of confusion. So I was dealing with that. I really don't have much more to say than that.
Okay. Can I ask you a question about it?
Yes.
When you say confusion, Were you able to connect to a bodily felt sense in the confusion? What it felt like in the body?
Yeah, I was feeling a little numb.
Ah, okay.
You know, I'm glad you asked that because I actually wasn't as connected to my body as I usually am.
Yeah, okay. That's, for me, important, if I'm in a state like that, to recognize that am I connected to my body or not. And either way, there's no judgment. It's just a recognition.
Yeah.
And then whatever you're feeling, even what you're calling numb, would be something that you could explore. What is that? What's the nature of this feeling that I'm calling numb, the sensation, whatever? So that's another avenue for entering into your experience.
Yeah. And in the numbness, there's some connection between the two of those. I think I'm going to have to just, I can't explore it right now too well,
but
I'm going to explore it.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. At least there's an opening, maybe a little clarity for how you can approach your experience.
Yeah, because I can feel my heart opening up again.
Yeah, great, wonderful. Okay. So I noticed that, Lauren, when I asked if anybody had anything different, I'm wondering if you're willing to share what your experience was?
Well, actually, some of it was echoed in what Anna was saying about it was more that I was having trouble being as attentive to the whole guidance, keeping my attention. And at one point, I put my hand on my belly to help myself stay more present, and I noticed that it almost felt numb or like someone else's body. And then, you know, I was continually sort of struggling to stay in attention and then wanting to bring compassion as you were guiding us to the fact that I was having a hard time staying present.
Were you able to connect to that experience more as you were trying to be present to the experience of wanting to be more attentive? Was that something you could actually experience?
I had glimpses of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Is there anything, a little bit of space there, if there's anyone else who had anything else they wanted to share about this last process or any questions that came out of it? Darlene?
Yeah, mine's just maybe a little bit of a reflection, but I found the words kind of put me quickly into a felt sense, and that for me is always very helpful to just to allow things to unwind and the breath to just be more open. Just as we were finishing, I was kind of reflecting back to this week when I was trying the process of what we had going on last week and then going more into what the thoughts were. And I just thought, I find that more difficult because I have a really good storyteller and she can go on for a long while. I just thought, as soon as I go into the felt sense, it's just kind of maybe I'll say maybe a little more direct. The other I find kind of either re-stimulates or the storyteller just really likes to keep on talking.
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, I think what I'd like to do is to move into introducing a different aspect of this. It's a process, kind of an abbreviated core version of compassionately embracing life and transforming core beliefs, if they're up. The document is a longer version of this. In order to share and demonstrate this, it's during a teleclass, it's a little bit more challenging to do the full version of it. So I'm going to try to do the highlighted parts of the aspects of this process that are most important. So I do want to say, in terms of compassionately embracing self-compassion as we did in the guided meditation, that it's a process, it's an exercise of inner attunement, so to speak, that you can apply to whatever you're experiencing in any moment of your life. So it's about approaching your inner experience and developing and cultivating more of the inner spaciousness, not just when you're stimulated or triggered, not just when you're in pain or disconnected. Whatever you're experiencing, we can attune into the felt sense, the longing, creating more inner spaciousness, more of the developing of that inner spaciousness that is unconditionally accepting of any experience that you have. Then there's another process that more specifically addresses when you've been stimulated and triggered into a painful experience, something that's unresolved. Usually these are repetitive patterns. So that is an indication that there may be these core beliefs activated when there's something that's repetitive, something that happens in some very similar way can be an indication of a deep habituated pattern of responding to life. So that's where this process would apply more. And I'm going to name the primary aspects of it, and I'm going to invite you all to practice this. So I think I've already named the inner territory of this practice. Number one is if you're aware of a life experience where you were triggered or stimulated, you're in some kind of pain, disconnected, unresolved place with respect to your experience. And furthermore, if you've noticed that this is a very familiar kind of triggering, a very familiar kind of experience that you have, even though the situation might be different, that often there is a familiarity to how we get re-stimulated and triggered in any life experience. So that would be a place to start. So identify, ask each person to identify this, and you can even jot down a few words that can help you stay connected to it. That's the first step. Okay. Then the second step is to identify any of your judgments that come up, any reactions, judgments in any form, evaluations, whether it's towards yourself or another person. Then there's a place of to embody this, to notice any sensations that you have that are connected to this judgmental reactive thinking, any of the jackal thinking. Do you feel a sensation, any constriction in the body? And then feel it, describe it. Notice the story, the judgment, and then notice the sensation. Those are two aspects of more deeply connecting to your experience. And then in the experience, you enter into it in a way similar to the previous experience, with more of the relaxation, creating the space around it. I'm going to move through it a little faster because I want you to give the overview, but if you can just touch into it as we're doing this. Then if a core belief comes into your awareness, just notice it. This isn't something that is a necessity that you have to identify a core belief. But if it arises naturally, core belief about yourself, about life, but I'm not good enough, my needs don't matter, faulty, any core belief about life. So just notice if there's one. You don't have to go after it, but just sort of notice it if it's there. For example, if I was in a situation where, just say there's a group of people and I'm sharing something to this group of people, and then someone says something that I take as a criticism. They say, Robert, you're just not being very clear at all. I never get the clarity that I want. You're being confusing. If somebody said that to me, I could easily get my jackal stimulated, and it would touch into that core wounding of myself that I've carried as a little boy, that there's something wrong with me, even though intellectually, I know that there's something different is going on. My intellect is different than my core reactions. So I might say, oh, there's something wrong with me. Maybe that's the core belief that gets stimulated. I'm not good enough. Here, somebody is criticizing me. That's my mind talking. And I'm not good enough. So that's the core belief. So the first jackal thinking is somebody's criticizing me. I did something wrong. I notice a contraction in my body, feels tight in my chest, kind of a warm burning. I'm fearful in there. I open myself into that feeling. I'm fearful. Notice that my fear is connected to the jackal thinking. People don't like me. There's something wrong with me. I'm never good enough. Even as a teacher, I'm always looking for approval. That's the jackal. I relax and breathe into that inner feeling. And in that, my core belief comes up, which is, I stated it before, but it says, I'm not good enough, let's say. So this is the transformational part. Then I sink into the sensation and the energy that's in the I'm not good enough. I feel that. And in that, there's vulnerability. So I'm relaxing. I feel a warmth. I'm scared, and I'm longing for acceptance. That's the transformation, is transforming the core belief into the pain and the longing. I'm going to say that again. The transformation is the transforming the core belief of I'm not good enough. That's a living feeling. It's not just a head. I'm fearful. I'm contracted into the vulnerability and the longing. I'm feeling vulnerable, I'm scared, I'm shaky, and I so much want understanding and acceptance. I'm longing for that. And when I say that, it's just not words. I feel the longing in my being, and something relaxes. Oh yes, I just want acceptance and understanding. When I can stay there and maybe repeat the pattern over and over again, something in my body begins to relax and open up. And all I'm wanting is understanding, and I feel the energy of understanding and acceptance. I feel it in my body. It's something that is actually has a quality of fullness. It's not deficient. It's not painful. That's what I want. That's what I long for, and I feel it in my body. So when I feel it, there is a feeling of inner fulfillment. I'm feeling the yearning. That is the beauty of the underlying need that is behind the core belief. So there's a relationship between this core belief that I'm not good enough and the fear and the pain and then the underlying longing of I just so much want acceptance and understanding. These are the essential aspects of this process. I'm going to go over it. Identify the stimulus. This is an experience that is a patterned, very familiar experience. Someone said something to me, Robert, you're being very unclear. Why can't you be more clear? Number two, the jackal thinking. Here it goes again. Somebody doesn't think I'm being clear. I'm feeling I'm being criticized. There's something wrong with me. Underneath the jackal, I can find a core belief. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. And I stay with that. I feel bodily sense of that jackal thinking and the core belief. I bring compassion, open acceptance to that. I breathe into it. And I move into the longing. There's vulnerability. I'm fearful. I'm so much wanting acceptance and understanding. I let myself sink into that feeling and let it nurture me. So, I went over it hopefully slowly enough and deliberately enough that you were going to be able to connect to this. But before I'm going to ask each of you to go more deeply into this, is there anybody who has any questions about what I just shared? Eric, yes.
I don't know what the word core really means in this context. I got lots of jackals. I don't know which ones I would call core.
Again, don't worry about identifying one that's core or not core. But let me just try to give you a little bit of an example of that, because it might take a little bit of more back and forth dialogue than what we have time for. But for me, a core belief is kind of like a bottom line belief. For example, if I say I'm being criticized in the example that I gave, that's not core, that's more situational. Core is something that is underlying all of it. So I would say I'm being criticized, therefore I feel bad, I might say to myself, I'm not good enough is more core. It kind of pervades the essence of all of the jackal thinkings that can arise out of something that is core.
Okay, good.
Does that help a little bit? Even
Thank you.
I do want to say that even if in this exercise you're not, you don't come up with or can identify something that you feel is core, you just go with whatever jackal thinking is most present to you.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay. So for the sake of this exercise, I am going to walk everybody through these essential steps. So everybody's going to be going through it at the same pace. And then I'm going to ask you to share in your pair, very similar to what we shared before. So again, I'm recognizing that I may be going at a pace that's different than your pace, but hopefully you'll do it in a way that's broad enough that everybody will be able to connect to it. For some, I'll be going too slow. For others, I may be going too fast. And for others, I may just be going just right. Just going to acknowledge that. Again, this is going to be done as a whole group. I'm going to walk the whole group through these essential steps. The first one is bring to mind, it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be like a small, everyday, small stimulus. An experience in your life that you can connect to in the present moment that could be one of something that's a very familiar kind of triggering that you feel. See if you can identify a clear observation, in other words, what was exactly said or done before you reacted. Identify that. Write down a few words if that'll help you remember it. And next, identify and name any kind of jackal thinking that was triggered by what happened. Now, if you have a whole lot of them, just for this exercise, pick out the main, the strongest two or three, or could even be the strongest one. So that's the first phase of this step. Just what was that jackal thinking? With the jackal, at the same time, connected the bodily felt sense of this jackal. Any contraction or constriction in your body, describe any physical sensations that are associated with the stimulus. Tune into that contraction that's connected to the jackal, physical. And if there is a core belief that comes to your awareness, again, you don't have to find it, but whatever there is, notice and identify what that might be. And then stay connected to the body and bring a sense of breathing, allowing acceptance to your inner experience. Bring a spaciousness to it. Not pushing the pain away, welcoming it, accepting it. If you feel an opening, more vulnerability, any sense of tenderness, just allow that vulnerability. You might go back to the jackal or the core belief, the core jackal belief. You might go back to that in your awareness. But feel the vulnerability and notice if there's fear there or any other feeling. And then connect to any sense of longing that's in the vulnerability and the fear. Are you longing to be seen, longing for acceptance, whatever the quality or the need is that you're longing for? Tune into it, feel it, and connect it to the jackal thought or the core belief. So you say it, as I shared in my example, I'm seeing myself as not good enough, and I'm longing for acceptance and love. Allow yourself to experience the sensation, the energy of your longing in your body. Whatever you're experiencing, there is no should or right way to do this process. If what you're experiencing is different from what I am guiding you to, that's okay. Bring acceptance to that experience. There is no should or right way to do this process. So, whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever is there, feel it, breathe. And we're going to begin shifting into some sharing, similar to what we did before. You're going to be with the same partner. This time, we're going to do 5 minutes for each person, and then we'll bring it back into the large room. Thank you all for taking the time to do the process and to share your experience in the pairs. I would like to connect with you and to hear any experiences that came out of this for my own connection and for the other people. Any questions for clarity or any sharing of experience that was meaningful to you, I'd like to hear. I see one hand up. Carmen?
I have actually two things that I would like some more clarity. One was, well, I choose something not very overwhelming. I just like a small situation. All the jackals, what produced, it was a sensation of anger, and it was not a contraction, no, because you mentioned a lot this contraction, and I feel it many times linked to other feelings, but in this time, when I feel angry, I don't feel contracted. I feel like I am a fire or something, like I'm expanding more than contracting.
Yes,
so I wanted just to have a comment on this.
Okay.
And the last thing is that when I try to connect with the deeper longing, I did connect some needs. I don't know if we were at the bottom line needs, but I could not feel this vulnerable part so much.
Yeah.
It was like, my question is, there are like some needs that are more profound than others, no? And
yeah,
there are needs maybe like need for efficiency or need for order that doesn't touch so much this longing for being accepted, no?
Yes, yes. Okay. So there's two parts to your question. One is your experience of anger in your body is not contracting. So I'm glad you're sharing that because for me, when I experience anger, I do experience the component that you're sharing, that you seem to be on fire. There's a kind of an intensity there. And when I enter into that, there's always at the core element of that experience, there is a contraction in me. You may or may not, I'm not saying you should feel that, but I always feel something contracting in my anger because there's an intensity there. It's almost like a fire-hot sun actually. Let me just say there's an intensity. So the word contraction doesn't connect to you. You connect to the sense of intensity as you're experiencing it in your body and connect to that as an entryway into the experience. So I'm hoping just hearing that is a little bit more helpful.
Yeah.
And then with anger, it's often more difficult to get to vulnerability because anger masks the vulnerability. It hides it. So I could maybe help you to get to it, and just spend a little bit of time, see if we can get to it quickly. So can you just say the words of your anger? How would the anger be expressed?
Towards the others, it was like, they are dumb, they don't understand anything, you have to tell them 100 times. And myself, it was, I am negligent, I am not enough conscious, I don't give enough instructions, I am careless.
Yeah. So the jackal goes outwards and inwards. They're dumb, and then to you, I should have more clarity in my instructions. So even in that, what's important with this transformation is to listen to those messages. Let's just say the inner message. And there's a should thing there, right? I should be more something or other, more clear. When you listen to that, you feel it. And can you feel, rather than saying, I should be, can you just say it, I want to be? I really want to be.
Yeah.
And you say it that way, what do you feel in your body?
Yeah, I feel a kind of sadness.
Yes. So that's the shift into what I would call more vulnerability. Do you feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you so long to be a certain way that you don't experience yourself to be. So then the sadness is softer, it's more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for that. It just helped you to maybe shift into the places how we can transform anger, I think, into what we're wanting and not getting. We transform the should into I so want, I'm wanting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carmen. I see, Anna, that you have your hand up as well.
Yeah, I really got a lot of clarity after talking with you the last time. Just from being able to talk with you and feeling that acceptance of whatever it was that was coming up in me.
Yes.
That really softened me. And I came back into myself, into my body, and I just felt a lot better. And I wanted to say thank you for that.
Right.
I know that these things are pretty quick. You know, they're short and quick. I feel that there's a real value in them because it's helping me with, you know, with the self-empathy that I need to do when someone else is right in front of me and confronting me with whatever it is that's going on with them, you know,
yeah.
And I pull in my own self-empathy quickly. So I feel like it's giving me some practice in that, and I value that.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Anna. Okay. So I see, Jeff, you have your hand up. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
I felt another really deep connection with this process. And when I got to the core belief, I went through a stimulus of trying to write a paper for a conference and then telling myself that I didn't have a PhD and that I don't deserve to write this paper and everyone will know I shouldn't be giving it and my paper won't be good enough. And I had deep bodily sensations about contracting in my gut and sort of a sickly unsettledness in my stomach. And I got to the core belief of I'm not worthy and then I'm a failure. And I kind of wanted to stay there to a certain extent. It was kind of hard to do this shift. It just kind of felt good to just, I don't know if it felt good, but it felt comforting to kind of be in that place for a little while and just kind of like let that core belief be heard. And shifting through it, so I did get around to coming to what my longing for nurturing. And you were saying, and I heard it, and it came back to me, that I wanted acceptance. And I felt myself kind of welling up again. And there was also kind of wanting to go back and just stay with that core belief a bit longer. And
Yes, I want to, as I'm hearing you share that, Jeff, what I'm sensing in that is that maybe you're wanting to be in that is that even though it is a core belief, it touches on something very real, very genuine in you. That it's more genuine than the first initial reactions of jackal thinking. It's almost like the word core, I use that because the specific meaning of it is more core. And I'm thinking that maybe you wanted to stay there, I'm guessing, because it's real, it's authentic. There's something authentic about that resonates with some aspect of you.
Yeah, I think there's something that really matters beyond what I can even say in this moment.
Yeah, so I love that. And I often recommend people just trust in what you are being drawn to. Trust in that. So I would want you to trust in you're being drawn to stay there, to be with that, if you revisit this. And then just allow in its own pace, and it's gentle in its own way, if you are drawn into that energy of when I do feel this embodied sense of unworthy and not good enough, for me there is more of a vulnerability, of fragility in that, and in that fragility you can sense into the longing. There's a There's an inner wisdom to this part of us, this inner experiencing that we can follow in a very respectful way.
Thank you for that reassurance.
Yeah. Okay. I'm noticing that we're coming just to the last few minutes of our time together. I'm going to just begin to close the class. And again, I'm grateful for all you being here and present. I'm hoping that it did serve you. It was useful. So I do recommend that you do the practice. I'm going to send the guided meditation that's called Compassionately Embracing, which is more of a narrative, and then a separate one that's called Compassionately Embracing Life and Transforming Core Beliefs, which is a 14-step process. You know, internally I don't experience it as steps. It's more of a guided traverse through this inner territory. These are the phases of it. And then I'm going to share a document for next week's class. The focus is, the title of it has to do with, it's called Choosing Life. And it's particularly aimed at the life choices that we make. The intention is to stay, is to choose from our awareness of the living energy or the authenticity of what we're wanting rather than what we're not wanting. So it's about choosing life, the illusion of conflicting needs. So when we're in this space, we realize that our needs never conflict. It's only the strategies that conflict. We can hold our needs internally with any given choice and hold them together so that internally we feel the equal valuing and the equal mattering of both of these choices. So we'll focus more on this process of choosing life for our next class. Just to think about this so that you can bring to the class your life experience and situations in which there are choices involved. So that's it for right now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.